You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
We continue this series, B-Sides, which is all about those people in the Bible that we know as these great heroes of the faith, and yet they have these sides and these stories about failures. And as Chris has just demonstrated, if you fail, you're done. You do not belong anywhere in God's plan or God's kingdom. I'm kidding. Everybody's like, what's he talking about? No, like that's the whole point of this series is that God uses all of our failures, all of our stories for His glory. And as we're talking about this, of course, we're not saying, hey, it's great. You know, Abraham was a liar, so lie. No, we're saying that despite our failures, God still uses us because we all have these B-sides. And so I want to just quickly look at this guy that we're probably familiar with. You might be familiar with. His name is Moses. And the point that we're looking at this week, and you're going to really unpack it more in your prime groups, is that Moses the deliverer, because people, we know him as the deliverer. He was the one that led the Israelites through the desert by God, you know, God leading him to release them from bondage, from slavery in Egypt after they were there for 400 years. And so this is Moses, the deliverer. And Moses, you know, here's some things you probably know about Moses, depending on what movies you watched and what generation you are. Whether it's the Prince of Egypt, whether it's, what's the Moses Prince, King of Princes or something like that, or whether it's the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. You know, we got the whole gamut here. But Moses, as you probably know, he was rescued from the Nile. Pharaoh gave an order that all the children should be killed. And so Moses' parents put him into a basket and floated him down the Nile. And he was rescued by Pharaoh's own daughter and raised in Pharaoh's household. Kind of a big deal. Moses was the one that was, you know, God appeared to him in a burning bush. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. But that's a big deal. Like God spoke to him from a bush. And if you talk about a burning bush, whether you're from church or not, you're probably familiar with that story. That's this Moses that we're talking about. He was the one that God used to bring the plagues upon Egypt through and upon Pharaoh through Moses. God was the one. Moses was the one that did that as God worked through him. He parted the Red Sea. Like you can go to Universal Studios and be a part of that. At least you could back in like the 80s. I'm sure it's the same now, right? Parting the Red Sea was a big deal. He was the one that went to the top of Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments from God. And the Ten Commandments, you probably know about. Even if you're not a church person, you probably are familiar with the Ten Commandments. And he led the people through the desert. It ended up being for 40 years because of their disobedience. But he led them from Egypt to the Promised Land. And by the way, the reason it was called the Promised Land is because it was the land that God had promised to Abraham, that we talked about a couple weeks ago. So that's Moses. Like Moses, like come on. Like, you know, people talk about Moses and, you know, was he the first or the second person on the ark? And Moses wasn't on the ark. It was Noah. It's one of those stupid church jokes for old people. But Moses. And yet, Moses, the deliverer, was also Moses, the murderer. And maybe you're aware of this story, maybe not. But in Exodus chapter 2, this is how it's recorded. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household. And then it says here, picking up in verse 11, many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews. So he was a Hebrew. He was a Jewish person. He knew that. And he saw how hard they were forced to work. And during his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. So after looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, so there isn't a complete, like, oopsie, I accidentally knocked you down. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian. So he checked to make sure, he kills the Egyptian, and then he hides the body. And he hid the body in the sand. And so this is not a guy that accidentally, you know, we're not talking manslaughter. He wasn't like riding his chariot and accidentally hit some guy on the side of the road who died after he hit his head on a rock. This was an intentional, willful decision that this is the Moses that we're talking about, the deliverer, Moses, the great Moses. And it says, the next day when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. He says, "Why are you beating up your friend?" Moses said to the one who had started the fight. The man replied, "Well, who appointed you to be our prince and judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses was afraid, thinking, "Everyone knows what I did." And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. So this is Moses. This is Moses the deliverer. The great Moses was also a murderer, and he goes and lives in Midian for a while. He gets old and grows up. And I just want us to realize that this Moses, the deliverer, was also Moses the murderer, because God can use broken, and not can, does use broken people. People that have B-sides, people that have failures. And so for this series, each week we've been kind of looking at that sin issue, the issue that's tied to that thing. The first week you talked about Abraham and lying and why, and God's opinion on lying. And last week we looked at Jacob and deception and, you know, how we can be deceived in our own lives and we deceive ourselves. So this week I want to look at murder. Now, when it comes to murder, probably none of you are struggling to decide whether murder is right or wrong. We talk about lying. You're like, "Yeah, man, on my way here this morning, I lied. Didn't even think about it." We talk about deception. "Yeah, just the other day, I was deceiving someone in my family." But you're probably not like, "Yeah, I walked into the building this morning and murdered somebody again." Like, you're probably not struggling with that. So I just want to throw this at you. And I'm sorry that I have to do this. But Jesus wasn't just content with murder and killing another human being. Jesus kind of upped the game. And in Matthew chapter 5, this is what Jesus said. He says, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder,'" which is one of the commandments. He says, if you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. Jesus is like, "Yeah, you've heard about the commandment. You heard that murder is wrong. If you murder someone, you know, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to be judged. You're going to go to prison, etc." He says, "But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell." And so Jesus ups the game and says, look, murder, probably not an issue. But if you have anger towards someone else, just even in your heart, in your mind, then that's the same as murder. And now I might have stepped on some toes. Because now you might be like, "Yeah, I guess I have been angry. I do get angry regularly. I do get mad at people. I do get upset. I do complain." And Jesus says, you know what? Those two are the same. So, this week in your prime groups, you're going to unpack that. Because we don't have time today. That's good. I'm not going to do that now. But you're going to unpack that in your prime groups. After Chris is done sharing, you guys are going to go through your discussion guide. And if you're not in a prime group, you can sign up out there in the lobby. They just started. The first discussion was just this past week. So it's a great time to jump in. And you're going to unpack this idea of anger. And what does the Bible say about anger? Because anger is a sin. Anger is equal to murder, according to Jesus. And yet the Bible also says that Jesus was angry. So how do those things work together? You'll have to go to Prime Group and find out, because your Prime Group leaders have all the answers. By the way, there's a Prime Group leaders meeting right after this, where you will beat me up. This idea of Moses the deliverer was also Moses the murderer. And again, you're going to talk about anger in Prime Groups this week, Student Prime as well. But I want to come to this point, is that despite this, yet God still used Moses. Even though Moses was a murderer, God still used him. And again, even though Abraham was a liar twice the first week, God still used him. Even though Jacob was a deceiver, God still used him. And even though Moses was a murderer, God still used him. And so I just want to quickly go through four things that you might not realize that happened and were unique about this Moses, this murderer, after he had murdered, how God used him. First of all, God chose his leader in Moses. So Moses had murdered this Egyptian, and God chose him a few years later and says, you're going to be the one that's going to deliver my people from Egypt, from slavery. And in Exodus chapter 3, that's where we see, and I'm going to kind of summarize this quickly. That's where we see the burning bush, and there's this bush that's on fire, but it's not burning up. It's like smoking, but not turning into nothing. And he goes over and checks it out, and God speaks to him from the bush and says, Moses, this, you know, he's like, whoa, you called my name. He's like, yeah, I called your name. Take off your sandals, because where you are is holy ground. And so God speaks to him, and so he takes off his shoes, and when he hears that this is Moses, by the way, God says, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground, just by the way, for I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, week one, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, week two. This is how he's still, these guys are B-sides, this liar and deceiver. God is referring to the murderer by the names of those two guys. And so when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then it says, and the Lord told him, I have heard about my people. I hear about their crying and how they've been in slavery for 400 years. These are the descendants of Abraham, the people that I've chosen. I've heard about them and I'm about to rescue them. And he says, I'm aware of the situation. And he says there, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. So God chose this murderer to be the one to lead the people. That is, and we're not talking like 20 people. We're talking thousands of people at this point. And God used this murderer to do that. The second thing is that God revealed his name to Moses. This is kind of a big deal, and you might not even realize this. But a little bit later, that same burning bush moment, Moses protested. He said, if I go to the people of Israel and they tell me, well, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they'll ask, well, what's his name? What should I tell them? And God replies to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. And so God gives Abraham essentially, without being too disrespectful, but essentially God gave Abraham his first name. My name is Yahweh, the I Am. And in your Bible or in the YouVersion app, anywhere in the Old Testament, that it says the Lord, and the Lord, L-O-R-D, is in capital letters. That is actually because the Hebrews that copied the Old Testament did not want to write out the name Yahweh. They didn't want to write that out because if they messed up, they felt that they would be, you know, dishonoring the name of the Lord. So when you see Lord, capital L-O-R-D, it's that, what are they calling? It's that name, Yahweh. And so this was the name that was revealed to Moses. And so from then on, you see capital L-O-R-D in the Bible. And that's because God said, Moses, it is Yahweh. It is I am, the one that I am. And by the way, a little bit later, you know, hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, 414, 56, about 1500 years later, and Jesus was on the scene and he says to the Pharisees around him, who do you think you are? And he says, oh, before Abraham was, I am. And it says, then at that moment, they picked up stones to kill him. Like, dude, what's up with them? It's because he just called himself the name of God that was revealed to Moses. So that's a big deal. All right, the third thing is that God showed his glory to Moses. And Moses is a murderer. Moses had the guts to then ask God later and says, look, God, if you're so amazing, just show me your glory. And the glory is, it's a fancy word. It's not a fancy word. It's a simple word that represents all of who God is. It's all of his wonderful attributes. And even in this passage here in Exodus 33, Moses says, show me your glorious presence. And the Lord replied, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you, for I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. And when you look at the tabernacle, we did a whole series called Dwell, about the tabernacle, where God's presence dwelled among the people. No one could be in the presence of God's glory, because God's glory is so amazing, so miraculous, so wonderful, that any sinful human being in that presence is instantly killed. And so God says, I want my people to be in my presence. So what's the solution? The solution is Jesus. Because Jesus takes our sin and gives us his glory, and therefore we can be in the presence of God in eternity. But that's kind of a separate but related story. And so Moses says, show me your glory. And God basically says, look, my presence is going to pass by. There's a spot in the rock here. I'm going to tuck you into that spot. And then I'm going to kind of cover you with my hand. How does that work? I don't know. I'm going to cover you with my hand, and then I'm going to pass by. And then once I'm by, then my glory will kind of become the essence of my glory. You ever been around someone with a lot of perfume? But you don't even know who the person was, but you walk down that aisle, like in the grocery store, and you're like, what in the world happened here? Like, that's kind of the idea, like this essence that's there. He says, even that caused Moses' face to glow so much that it freaked people out. And he had to wear a veil. So God showed him his glory. This didn't really happen to anybody else directly that way. And God says, Moses says to God, show me your glory. And God did that. And then finally, God shared his transfiguration with Moses. What is transfiguration? It's a fancy church word, I guess you could say, that basically means to be transformed or transmogrified. I don't know what that means really exactly. But to be transformed. That was my Autobot Decepticon. Anybody? Okay. Anyway, the whole thing here is that in Mark chapter 9, Jesus is with, well, Peter, James, and John. And he leads them up to this high mountain. Now, Jesus has been a man. He's a man living on this earth. Obviously, you know the story of Mary and the birth and then the wise men and that whole deal. And he's been doing miraculous things. But for the most part, just aside from the miracles, aside from the announcement from heaven and all that stuff, but for the most part, Jesus just looked like a man. And so there's this moment where Jesus takes them up to this mountain to be alone. And it says, as the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed. And his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. And so in this moment, Jesus is changed. His physical presence, his look turns into basically his glorified version. Now, we know it wasn't the full version, because if that was the case, they would have died instantly. But Jesus kind of shares with these intimate disciples of his, Peter, James, and John, and shares this moment of, this is who I am, and becomes transformed and starts to look a bit like the amazing God that Jesus is. And then, in this moment, it says, then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. So here, Moses was honored in this moment, this murderer, when it was time for the Son of God to reveal himself to his followers, he chose Elijah and Moses to be there with him in this moment. And Peter, I love Peter. Peter exclaimed, Rabbi, teacher, it's wonderful for us to be here. Thanks, Pete. Good idea. Appreciate that. He said, let's make 3 shelters as memorials, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Let's make houses. And I love it. He said this because he really didn't know what else to say. For they were all terrified. He's like, this is the scariest thing in my life. Why don't we build houses? Like, okay. And then it says, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved son. Listen to him. Suddenly looked around, and Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. And so this was just another thing. This murderer that God said, I'm going to reveal myself as the Son of Man, the Son of God to the people. And he allows Moses to be a part of that moment. How did that work? I don't know. I don't know how that worked either. Was Moses like, I'm waiting. I don't know. But God used Moses. So, again, the point, Moses the deliverer was also Moses the murderer. And this whole series, we're saying it over and over and over and over again until thick human skulls like ours, sinful people like us, get it through our brains that God is not finished with us. That you and I can get to the spot where we go, I messed up. And God says, yes, you did. And that's why Jesus came to die for you. And now I'm going to use you. So don't ever say that I can't use messed up things. Don't ever say I can't use broken people. And don't ever let your B-side keep you from allowing God to do something in you and through you. And if you have any questions about that, ask Chris at your Prime group this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the story of what you've done in Chris's life and the way you've grabbed his heart and him and Dawn and their family and just the layers and layers and layers of the things that you have been doing there. And thank you that Chris is just one person in this entire room full of sinners that have brokenness, that have sinned, that have hurt. And God, you sent Jesus to die for us, to take our sin, to give us your glory. And thank you, God, that you can use broken people like us.